Hello, I'm Jom Ellis. Welcome to episode 74 of Pittodrie PS, the predominantly Dons-based podcast, featuring not just the Dons first team, but a look across age groups and genders at the club. And we focus on the respective progress of Cove and Peterhead too, as well as the North East local representatives in the Highland League and juniors. And not just football, but any sport making headlines in the North East of Scotland or featuring someone from the North East of Scotland. Joining me for this journey, as always, Andrew Shiney, and we welcome back to the first team, Dave McDermott. So here we are, recording this episode on the morning of Tuesday, March 21st, 2023, looking back over our match against Hearts at Pittodrie last weekend and ahead to our next one, which is away to St Johnson on April 1st after the international break. First, though, to that match against third place Hearts at the weekend. When we talked about rest of season aspirations last show, Andrew, you said if we had any chance of finishing third, it would make the match against Hearts at Pittodrie a must win. Well, it finished in an emphatic 3-0 win for the Dons. Your thoughts afterwards?
Absolutely delighted with the performance, particularly in the first half. The result was, as you say, emphatic, and no one could complain at all that it finished 3-0. In fact, it could easily have finished twice as many goals for Aberdeen, because if there was one team that was going to score in the second half, it was the Dons rather than Hearts. So a really good day at the office from Aberdeen. And right from the outset, I think you could see that there was a fighting spirit about Aberdeen. They wanted to get all the second balls, the third balls. There were no failures in the team. When you look through the performances of the individuals, Graham Shinney, Ilber Ramadani in the middle of the park, outstanding. Matty Pollock at the back, brilliant. Sets up the second goal, scores the third goal, defended really well throughout. But for me, the slightly surprising performance was that of Leighton Clarkson in the middle of the park. Look at how many challenges he won. Now, at times, Leighton, he looks a wee boy. He is a wee boy in footballing terms. But, you know, he really got himself wired in there. And there's an enthusiasm that, I don't know whether it's Graham Shinney has brought it to the table, but there's an enthusiasm amongst the whole group now. They all fight for each other. And that was so refreshing to see. And on the other side, you saw Hearts, rather than fighting for each other, were fighting with each other. You mentioned to me, you know, after about half an hour, poor, did you see that? The boy Cochrane having a go at, say, Robbie Nielsen. Two minutes later, up goes the board. Number three, out of here.
Yeah.
And that just went all the way through the Hearts team. Lauren Shanklin, the captain, just cut an ever more frustrating figure. But their key men, the guys that you thought before the game had to be looked after, Barry Mackay never kicked a ball. Robert Snodgrass, completely obliterated in the middle of the field. And Lauren Shankland up top, I think he had one shot in the game. And as I said, was really getting annoyed with his teammates, with himself, with everything that was going on around him. So it was a really good day for Aberdeen, a bad, bad day for Hearts. But I had been looking into, I think I mentioned it last week, the previous league performances against Hearts at Pittodrie, and had discovered that our best ever run of home league victories against them, there was one back in the 50s, six successive home league wins. They were going into this game last Saturday in the back of another run of six successive home league wins. We've now created a new club record of seven successive home league wins against Hearts. And so I think it tells you that Hearts away from Tynecastle aren't the force that they are at Tynecastle. But that's three games in the trot that they've lost, albeit two of them were against Celtic. But that's three games in a row, defeats, conceding three goals. And, you know, it's going to be a test of their character to see how they bounce back, because all of a sudden now there is a challenge for third place. They were well ahead not too long ago, but Aberdeen have made up ground. Hibs are getting better. Hearts play Hibs just shortly. The race for third place is very definitely on, and Aberdeen are in the mix, which is great.
I have to say, again, it's one of these years. I mean, when the current setup for the Premiership started, it didn't really work. And pretty much every year since, it has, in terms of there's something going on at the top, there's something going on for third and fourth, there's something going on around the middle, and there's definitely stuff going on around the bottom. And they're fighting for all these places, which is refreshing to see. We're running out of superlatives. And this is interesting, Dave, because Andrew didn't mention him here, but we are running out of superlatives for Duke. two for him on this occasion, and a debut for Matty Pollock as well. All good goals, but I thought first half, they were about as bad up here as we were down there.
Yeah, then again, we were so good in that first period in particular. And you just compare, I mean, I texted Andrew during the game, which never got back to you, by the way, but just to say that...
I was working.
I know you were. I watched you wear yellow jacket on, the pair of you. When you think back just a few short weeks ago, it was everything there on Saturday that was missing during that period. Andrew mentioned the spirit, the character, determination, the will to win. It's all there. Fantastic to see. You've got a question. What on earth? There was obviously a lot wrong in the club under Jim Goodwin that we're obviously not privy to, but some of the comments that have come out recently, and also just the way players who are patently not at the top of their game for whatever reason are now playing at the top of their game. And again, it just performance, I thought the captain was absolutely captain fantastic on Saturday. And again, it just beggars belief why, and I think we know why he was left out of that Darvel game, because he epitomised, and I think Andrew's right, I think Leighton Clarkson probably benefits from having the enthusiasm, and not just Leighton, there's a whole heap of that team that benefit from the enthusiasm of Graham Shinney. So you see what the crowd reaction is, and it just one feeds off the other, and it just the everything, the tempo was up, etc., etc. But it was a fantastic performance, and it did mean that we could almost not sit back for the second half. But the game was done and dusted after half an hour, which was absolutely fantastic.
A slightly different second half, Andrew. They had more of the ball than they did in the first, but I thought we still had the better chances, as you said earlier.
We did. Matty Pollock could have scored a hat-trick. He had a couple of decent efforts from corners. Xander Clark made a great save from Duke to prevent him scoring his hat-trick. You did say to me after 21 minutes, you're surely going to get a hat-trick now. He's got two in the opening 20 minutes, but it wasn't to be.
Operational curse again, yeah.
yeah. But no, I mean, I did deliberately leave out mentioning Duke earlier on because I knew that you were going to be asking Dave about him. But once again, he's done nothing but enhance his reputation, both with the Aberdeen fans and throughout European football. We're now hearing stories coming from Italian sources that Italian clubs are monitoring both Duke and Bojan Miovski, which is understandable. One has scored 17, Bojan, and now Duke is up to 15 goals in their first seasons in Scotland. So that's a tremendous return from two guys who we had never heard of at this time last year.
I think, Andrew, as well, it's also testament to the recruitment of, he's been hung out to dry in recent times, but somebody saw it, and we know what it was like physically when he arrived. But somebody saw the potential in that player, probably when he wasn't at his fittest, to make the move, and he's now going to be hopefully turning into a real, real asset for the club, and they should do everything they can to hang on to him because he's under a reasonably long-term contract, and let's hope he stays to excite the fans even more because he's a real match winner, as we saw on Saturday.
I think somebody said the best we've had since Hisham Zero Ali for getting fans up off their seats. Mm-hmm. We're fairly close to the pitch when we're sitting there in our high-vis jackets, working hard. We always comment and look, there's somebody trying to knock Duke off the ball, and he's just bounced about 5 yards away. Yeah. I think it was the big boy Keo Mertzoglu had three digs at him down the corner flag and just bounced off every time. Mm-hmm. He's strong. He's got an eye for goal. He really does excite fans every time Duke gets onto the ball. And what was it you described him as? The patron saint of lost causes, John.
He is that.
Time and again, you think, you've lost that. And out from a melee of players comes this little Cape Verde Islander battling off, and off he goes up the park. And as you said, Dave, that lifts the crowd. It gets everybody united together. And when you get Aberdeen at Pittodrie or elsewhere with everything going together, they are a pretty formidable force, and huge credit to Barry and all the coaching staff for getting this out of the team. at such a pivotal time of the season.
Yeah, there's never a good time for an international break, is there? You come away from the game previous to it, like Hearts did, wanting to get out there and make amends straight away, or, like us, you just want to get to the next match and try and keep that momentum going. As it stands, we've got that break now, and the Dons' next match away to St Johnstone in the first. The fans chanting Barry Robson's name around the ground on Saturday, but that recruitment process, we understand, for a new manager is ongoing, Dave. It's not to say Barry's name isn't on the shortlist. I imagine it moves further up, if that's possible, with every passing game. Can you read the board's collective mind and forecast what's going to happen here?
Well, I would hope they are looking at results. I mean, as so many people have said, at the end of the day, football's a simple game, you know, and Barry seems to, and his staff seem to have managed to get the formula right for just now. And to be honest, if it does continue, then absolutely, why not? I think Steve Agnew's influence is obviously fairly crucial in terms of that. But Barry and Scott Anderson as well deserve all the credit, because we know just what a sad bunch of you would be, not even call them footballers. They were just that few short weeks ago into the transformed with Celtic and Versal so far. Have transformed them into the way they can play now. If that does continue, then I, for one, would be quite disappointed if Barry wasn't given the chance for a longer term go at it, because I'm mentioned to Andrew. I don't think if he wasn't to get it, I don't think he would hang around Pittodrie, and I do think that would be a big loss for the club.
Yeah, I saw something suggested at the weekend, I can't remember where, that a potential stumbling block for Barry at this point, possibly getting the appointment full-time, maybe if Steve Agnew wasn't willing to commit to it in the longer term. Do you think there could be something in that, Andrew?
I haven't heard that, I must admit. I think, you know, Steve Agnew's a football man. He's moved around the country in different jobs. And every time I see him, he looks as though he's thoroughly enjoying himself. And that's the impression that you get from everybody, you know, all the new guys that have come up, Angus McDonald, Matty Pollock, they sing the praises of the football club. The staff there, both the football staff and the behind-the-scenes staff, their welcome that they've had. I haven't heard anybody of those who have come in over this last little period say anything bad about the club and going, you know what, I'm looking forward to the end of the season when I can get away from here. So I think that the two of them work very well together, I think, Barry and Steve. Barry's obviously worked as a player under Steve, but admitted that he was always, after training, into the coach's room, bending the ear of Steve Agnew, going, I saw what you did in the training session today. How about we try doing that? And soaking up information, soaking up knowledge about the game. And I think the two of them work well together. So I would hope that if Barry was to be offered, it would be as part of a package with Steve Agnew there alongside him. And bear in mind, there's a lot of money to be won if you can get up to third place in the table this season, because you qualify for the qualifying round of the Europa League. If you lose there, you go into the group stages of the Conference League. If you are to win, you're into the group stages of the Europa League. So you're guaranteed European football all the way through to Christmas, which is worth between £3 and £5 million. Now, if you were to go and get a new manager, it's going to cost you probably to get him in. He will probably want to bring his own backroom staff in. That creates a disruption, not just within the club, but within the football operations group. So the players are then getting new messages in their ears. Can they take that on board, or do they really need to be taking that on board at this stage in the season? I think it could have a detrimental effect. So there's a lot of things that point that you towards saying, Barry, you and Steve, carry on to the end of the season. And if they were to finish third, and there's no reason to think that they couldn't finish third, there's that £5 million potential carrot there. I would say it's a no-brainer to just say, carry on. I think the results certainly have propelled Barry Robson and Steve Agnew's names, I would think, right up to the very top of that list. And there's so many other reasons that you can see for putting them in charge rather than trying to almost start again with a blank canvas for next season. But if you were to do it now, I think it would disrupt things. And for whatever reason, the Jim Goodwin thing failed, it could possibly happen again, you know, that all of a sudden the form dips and you slide down the table. So I would just say, hey, the way things are going, nothing's broken. Don't try fixing it. Carry on the way you're going.
Yeah, I suppose the only thing, Dave, that they haven't quite ticked off yet. I mean, yes, they won away to Dundee United, but our away form prior to this had been absolutely dismal. If they got another couple of wins on the road, that would further enhance Barry's chances, you would think, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And obviously, no game this weekend, but we do have the chance for another away win on the road in a couple of weeks. So, the away form has just been unacceptable, full stop. And given the away form up until this part, fairly late on in the season, to finish third, despite that, quite an achievement, to be honest.
It's been an absolutely bonkers season. When we look back at this, it's been an absolutely weird season.
I can't remember a season where things have gone so far in one direction or the other so quickly. Yeah. But not just once. We started off well at home, then we went down, still had the away form, and then we had that horrible period after the World Cup, which ended in whistle. And all of a sudden, the garden is rosy once again. It's incredible.
Hey, it's been up and down like the lie detector will be for Boris Johnson later this week. Well, as we've been saying,
that will just go in a straight line. Lie, 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 lie.
As we've been saying for the last few episodes, only time will tell on this. Perhaps we're waiting to see how that away form holds up, and the board will have another chance to watch that up close, as you say, when the Dons travel to face St Johnstone in Perth, the other side of the international break. Let's do a score predictor. I would advise you write this one down, guys, so you remember. Let's do a score predictor for St Johnstone versus Aberdeen. Just remember these when we reconvene. Dave, first of all.
I'm going to go for away form to continue from Dundee United with a 2-0 win.
Okay, and Andrew?
I was just going to say, Andy Considine, how the hell he got away with that handball at the weekend, goodness only knows, and that was with I rest my case.
Yeah, well, apparently he said to Derek afterwards, they definitely did. So, I mean, what can you do? Andrew, St Johnstone versus Aberdeen.
Yeah, putting all VAR controversies aside, I'm sure we can discuss that at huge length next week when we don't have a Dons game to talk about. But the St Johnstone game, I think Aberdeen could go down there and score three again. So I'll go one better than Dave and say the Dons will win 3-0.
Usually when we get a St Johnstone Aberdeen game, it's like, oh, well, there won't be a lot of goals. Now, well, all of a sudden, you know, give it a few weeks. Let's move on to under-18s next. Currently top of their league, Andrew, having seen off Rangers and Celtic recently. This weekend past, they faced Hibs at Cormac Park. How did that one go?
Well, unfortunately, it didn't go the way that we wanted. Hibs running out very comfortable 4-0 winners on a black Friday night for the Dons. Blair McKenzie missed the game through illness, and his presence in the central defence was very sorely missed. Finlay Marshall was out through suspension, and again, the aggression, the drive, the skill sets that he brings to the middle of the park, noticeably missed. And then 15 minutes or so into the game, poor old Alfie Bavage had to come off injured. So that was the spine of the team gone. But it was a very, very good performance from an impressive-looking Hibs side. Ethan Laidlaw scored a couple of goals and was a constant threat to Aberdeen, as was Rudy Molotnikov, who sounds like an incendiary device, but he's a pretty explosive midfielder and scored a very good fourth goal for Hibs. But I was speaking to Robbie Hederman after the game, and he said, look, I said to the players, he said, this result will not determine your season. How you react to this result will determine how your season pans out. So they've got to bounce back from it, treat it as just a speed bump on the road, but hopefully Blair McKenzie will have recovered from his illness and be back, because Kai Watson did struggle a bit central defence-wise, because young Victor Enem at right back didn't have a great game. Laidlaw was exposing him quite a bit, so Kai was having to move across. Didn't have the insurance policy of the experience of Blair McKenzie alongside him, and the defence became a little bit disjointed. Finlay Marshall will be back, but unfortunately, and it is a real blow for all concerned, Alfie Babbage broke a couple of bones in his foot.
Oh.
That's why he had to come off. It was just a tackle. Looked to be nothing in it at all. He did try to run it off, but had to admit defeat, had to come off. I saw him going round the park at the end of the game on his crutches. And when I was in at Pittodrie on Saturday, I asked, you know, how's Bav? And they said, oh, well, he's getting x-rays, etc. Done. And then I saw him on Sunday, because he was watching his wee brother playing for Dice under-15s against Edinburgh City in the Scottish Cup semi-final, which unfortunately Dice lost 3-0, so hard luck to these lads. My grandson was playing there. But I spoke to Bav and he said, I had a CT scan this morning, probably going to be out for about 6 weeks. So that is a big, big blow to the under-18s. But it gives an opportunity for Lewis Pirrie probably to come in there, and Liam Harvey to step up and rather than play wide right, probably play through the middle. Liam scored plenty of goals this season, so there's going to be a greater onus on him, obviously, in the coming weeks. But they don't have a game this weekend because there are various age group international gatherings. So they've got a wee bit of time to sort of lick the wounds, get themselves back ready. I'm not sure who their next game is against. It could be St Mirren or Dundee United. I'm still waiting to see what the fixture is. But it was a sore one for them to take on Friday night. But as Robbie and Stuart Duff both said to them, you know, treat it as a speed bump. Let's see how you react to it. So there's still a bit to go. Celtic have moved back to the top of the table. They're a point ahead Aberdeen, but Aberdeen have that vital game in hand. So if they're to win that, they would move back top again.
It's a tight old league, isn't it, right now? You've got to hope that Alfie Babbage will get back before the end of the season. If not, do you think we could play him on one leg and settle for like a goal and a half per game as opposed to the usual three?
But it's such a blow for the youngster because, you know, had he been fit, he would probably have been in the bench there on Saturday. And with Aberdeen being 3-0 up, you could have seen him get a longer run out. So it's an injury that's just come at absolutely the wrong time for him. But he will get the best of medical attention, and he's a determined guy, so he will be back as quick as he possibly can.
Aberdeen women's issue at the minute is that they can't hold on to a lead. The last two games against Partick and Motherwell, respectively, they've gone ahead, only to be pegged back and eventually lose the match in question. They're now just above the relegation spots in 10th place. Glasgow women haven't a hope of surviving. They're rock bottom, haven't won a point all season, scored 6, conceded 115. So they're out of contention. Worryingly, though, Hamilton in 11th are just a couple of points behind the Dons. Their league has now split for the final few matches and resumes with a fixture for Aberdeen away to Glasgow women this coming Sunday. The Dons will be looking to get back to winning ways and start those split fixtures with a good result, hopefully setting the relegation issue sooner rather than later and securing their spot in the top flight for the next campaign, which really was always the objective at the start of the season, wasn't it, Dave?
Yeah, it was. I think everyone would have realistically expected us to be in a slightly safer position than we are at the moment. But that still remains the core objective. And it's important they take Sunday's game very seriously. You know, although Glasgow women are isolated at the bottom of the table, this is 3 points that the Dons need to take and to hopefully give themselves that daylight between themselves and Hamilton. But fingers crossed for that one.
As I say, that campaign continues Sunday, March 26, away to Glasgow women as the post-split fixtures commence. Cove Rangers next. They're in that fight towards the bottom of the championship. Three clubs involved in this one. Most recently, Cove were on 26 points. Hamilton 25, Arbroath 24. All very tight, but as we went into the weekend past, Arbroath had a chance to forge ahead when they played the Friday night championship fixture at home to Morton. Thankfully, they didn't quite grasp it with both hands, securing a 1-1 draw. Then on Saturday, Cove travelled to face Raith Rovers. The final score in that one, 6-1 to Raith. Ouch. Hamilton, meanwhile, were at home to Ayr United. That one ended 2-0 to the visitors. So at the end of the weekend, the bottom three now like this. Cove remain at 26 points. They're both in the middle of the pack now in 25. Hamilton also in 25, but fall to the bottom of the table. Both of the bottom two have a game in hand over Cove, though. After all that work and resulting joy last year, with Cove gaining promotion, it'd be a real shame if they couldn't hang on and stay up in the Championship now, Dave.
Yeah, it would be. And it's getting very, very tight, isn't it, say, down at the foot of the table. And worryingly was, of course, that 6-1 scoreline away to Raith. We thought six goals against Cove when Paul regained control of the team early in the season. But it was quite an experienced lineup that Paul had out there. So a lot of work on the training ground to be done. And yeah, like you, I'm desperately hopeful that they don't end up in one of the sides in either of those bottom places come the end of the season. But Arbroath are in a bit of a run at the moment. Hamilton are certainly capable, but in fact, I was watching their both game on Friday night, and Bill Ogilvie, who was stadium manager at Gayfield for the evening, and he, of course, is stadium manager at Cove. So when Morton scored in the first half, I did message him to say, did you manage to stop yourself jumping up with joy when that goal went in? So he did come back with a rather too tight for my liking, and I'm sure for all the Cove fans and the Cove board and management and players liking as well. So you just need to get a few wins and do something about letting in goals the way they were.
No, far from it. Cove's next match is on Friday evening when they travel to take on Ayr United. Peterhead next, again in a similar position to Cove, battling for survival in their division. They only have one other team in their sights, though, and that's Clyde. At best, Peterhead can hope to have the opportunity to be responsible for their own fate in an end-of-season playoff. Currently, after last weekend's results, Clyde have the luxury of knowing they could lose to Peterhead but still maintain that playoff spot. So still within Peterhead's control, but opportunities diminishing every week. This weekend, Peterhead were at Airdrie, which finished 7-0 for Airdrie. Clyde, meanwhile, visited Alloa Athletic, and that one ended 3-1 for the home side. Now, because that goal difference is so bad anyway, there was never a hope of clawing anything back there, and nothing lost in terms of points advantage. But from the point of view of loss of face, loss of hope, there's a terrible hammering to take at exactly the time in the season where what you need to see from your team is that hunger, that desire, that fight for one another to survive. And going on the evidence of that scoreline alone, Andrew, it doesn't exactly seem to be there, does it?
Certainly doesn't, John. I mean, Airdrie are pushing hard for getting into the playoff places. In fact, their goal difference has been boosted by the fact that they scored 13 goals in their last two games against Kelty and against Peterhead. And they've managed to get themselves ahead of Edinburgh City up into fourth place, into the playoff spots in League One. Alloa are immediately ahead of them. So it was no surprise that both Clyde and Peterhead lost the games on Saturday. But as you say, that 7-0 hammering, that does untold damage to any sort of morale or confidence that there could have been about the Peterhead squad. I really do fear for them now because games are running out and there's so few opportunities for them now to get a victory or even a draw somewhere that could mean that beating Clyde, assuming Clyde were to lose all their games, would get them into the playoff spot. Time is fast running out for Peterhead, and in the famous words of the old Scottish actor John Laurie, I'm afraid they're doomed.
Dear. Next weekend, Clyde welcome Airdrie on the Friday evening. Peterhead are at Balmoor to welcome Alloa the following day. On to the Highland League now. Games happening midweek as well as at the weekends currently. First, the results midweek. Bro Rangers 0, Bucky Thistle 2, and Fermanagh United 2, Tariff United 1. Then on Saturday, Brora 2, Nairn County 1, Bucky Thistle 1, Rothes 1, Devon Vale 2, Forest Mechanics 1, Fermanagh United 6, Wick Academy 0, Fraserburgh 0, Banksidea 3, Huntley 1, Inverurie Locos 1, Keith versus Brechin City was postponed, Lossiemouth 0, Clackenacudden 2, and Tariff United 5, Strathspey Thistle 0. All that means the table is now like this. Bucky Jags top on 75 points, now ahead of Brechin by 9, but they have played 4 games fewer at Brechin. For Martin United in third on 65 points and Broad up fourth on 61. In the juniors, Dave?
Yeah, results from last week in the Premier League. Cooter 4, Banksia St Johnstone 1, Hermes 7, Dice 0. That was second against third, a game I predicted there would be one goal in it, as usual. Got that one spectacularly wrong. Stonehaven 1, Elling United 2, Stonywood Parkville 3, Montrose Roselea 0. In the Championship, Banksia JFC 2, league leaders Fraserburgh United 0, Devonside 0, Forest Thistle 1, Glentanner 1, Rothie Rovers 2, Longside 1, Newmarket United 3, Sunnybank 1, Islevale 1. There's a couple of cup games as well. In the Clemen Cup quarter-final, Bridgerton Thistle 1, East End 1, 5-4 on spot kicks for East End. And in the Elginshire Cup first round, Buckenhaven Hearts 3, Aberdeen Uni 1. A couple of good games tonight. In the Clemen Cup quarter-final, it's Hermes against Cooter at Lochside Park. So the region's top two teams going for the third time at Lochside Park in a matter of weeks. The previous games finishing 3-0 in the North Regional Cup to Cooter and 2-0 to Hermes in the Premier League. So who knows how tonight's game will go, but it'll be very, very tight. And in the Premier League, it's Dice against East End. Both these games have a 7:45 kickoff.
Okay, before we go, let's get a quick mention on for Red Rewind. Now, last week, Andrew, you said was the best of times for episode one.
It was the best of times, and delighted to see that there's been a good number of downloads. I think we've reached 7 or 8 different countries. So there's expats out there all over the world tuning in. I did have a couple of people speak to me. One guy at Cormac Park on Friday said, "Oh, I really enjoyed Red Rewind and brought back some really happy memories. It's just the perfect length for walking the dog." The dog gets about a 45, 46 minute walk. And then David Bowman spoke to me on Saturday at Pittodrie, Dave, and said that you should be taking credit for the AFC domain name. He said he was still at university at the time, and he said it was probably you that managed to get the afc.co.uk rather than him. But he was very amused at the fact that I called him an integral prat as opposed to an integral part.
Freudian,
absolutely.
But I take it back after what you said.
This week, I'm afraid, from the best of times, we're now reflecting in the worst of times, Dave.
It's a 3-day podcast, John. So
I said
long, long walk for that dog.
Yeah, I said to Andrew that it's bound to have Queen of the South, the Cup semi-final there.
Yeah,
which I remember I took my dad along to see. And my dad had not long, I mean, literally about the week before, had a stent fitted. Nobody guessed that it would get such a robust workout in its first week of existence, but it held up to the test just. But that was one of the worst of times. What else is in there?
The misfortune of having to accompany Jimmy to the press conference after match, and I have never seen anybody so utterly and completely demoralised and down after a game. Well, so we've got Pigma Olomouc, Mark McGee's and only foray into Europe as manager of Aberdeen.
That was that 5-6-2 at home? Well, that one, wasn't it?
5-1 at home.
5-1 at home. Oh, dear God.
3-0 away, was it?
3-0. And it was 3-0 well before half time.
I remember, it's not on the podcast, but I remember having a huge barney with Brian McLaughlin of the BBC in the press room after the game, because he was saying, who are we putting up to speak about the, because there'd been some trouble the night before involving Aberdeen fans in a bar, but the Aberdeen fans didn't cause the trouble. So Brian was expecting me to have somebody to put up, which there was no way was going to happen. What else have we got, Andrew?
Oh, probably Bohemians will get a mention.
There's unfortunate. And of course, the worst of times, of course, was recorded after the very worst of times, which was that long ago.
Yes.
So we had to rewrite it before we...
but thankfully we're not going to mention... I don't think we should ever mention that club by name ever again. It'll be like the Scottish play. We'll never mention them. The Ayrshire club. We'll never mention them by name again. Right, okay. That is pretty much it for episode 74 of Pittodrie PS. Like Red Rewind, you can find us pretty much anywhere on the web, wherever you download your podcasts, you'll find Red Rewind, Pittodrie PS, there for you. We aim to publish every week on a Tuesday if we can, always looking back to the Dons' previous fixtures and ahead to the next. Please remember to follow us on Apple or whatever it is that you get your podcasts. And if you could rate and review us, tell us what you think of the show as well. We'd be very grateful. Thanks for checking out Pittodrie PS. We'll see you next time.